really his own, but a borrowed thing. And was it, he wondered, in the few clips of time when he could keep his thoughts straight, for even his brain seemed only partially his to control? Was this the way it was for babies, then? Were they all like this, strangers in their own forms, lacking more than simple coordination, but an actual path to find that dexterity, as if their little brains had not yet found a way to speak to their own limbs? Or was it something more, the old baby dwarf feared? Was this a perversion, a theft of another's body, and as such, might the act have damaged the corporeal coil? Would he be ever doomed to flail and gurgle? A helpless stooge, and a fool for leaving the forest as he had, for not continuing on to his just rewards at the side of Moradin. Brunner tried to focus, tried to concentrate deeply, calling to his arms to stop their incessant flailing. But he could not, and he knew that something was wrong. Mialiki's gift was a curse then, he realized to his horror. This was no blessing. And now he'd suffer out his days? How many years? 200? 300? As a bumbling fool, a curiosity? He fought for control. He failed. He battled with all of his strength, the willpower of a dwarf king. He failed. He felt the frustration bubbling up inside of him, a primal terror that pushed forth a primal scream, and even in that shriek, Brunner could not control his inflection or timbre.
"Ah, me little Reggie,"
he heard a comforting female voice, and a cherubic dwarf face peered over the edge of his cradle, her smile bright, her expression tired. Giant hands reached in and so easily lifted Brunner, guiding him toward a monstrous, huge breast.
"Ah, ye brought your brat,"
Amorous Warcrown said to his captain of the guard, when Reginald Roundshield arrived in the war room, his child strapped into a dwarfling holster on his back. Reginald grinned at his king.
"Can't be having me boy laying about all day. He's much to learn."
"The boy's been breathing for a month,"
Parson Glaive remarked.
"Aye, should have a sword in his hand by now, I'm thinking,"
said Reginald, and they all laughed some more. Bouncing around on his father's back, Brunner was glad to be out of the nursery and the cradle, and his happiness at being brought along only increased when the three dwarves began discussing the political and security situation of the rune gates of Citadel Felbar. Brunner listened intently for a few moments, but then he thought of eating because his stomach growled. Then he thought of the itchiness around his backside. Then he looked at his hand, his chubby little dwarfling hand, and a goo sound came forth from his saliva-dripping lips. He tried to remind himself to focus, to listen to this conversation, for it would take him from the immediate needs that seemed so ever-pressing to him. But he found himself lamenting the indignities of his station. He, King Brunner Battlehammer, was bouncing around helplessly on the back of a guard captain. He, the King of Mithril Hall, had to be fed and changed and bathed and— The baby let out a shriek, one that came from somewhere deep inside and simply bubbled out before Brunner could even consider it. How he hated this!
"Here now! Ye keep your brat quiet, or drop him back on his maw,"
Parson Glaive said.
"Bah, not for worrying," King Emerus said. "Them shrieks'll be battle cries soon enough, and little RR's got some orc heads to squish."
So they went on with their meeting, and Brunner tried to listen, hoping to catch up on the events here in the Silver Marches. But he was hungry, and he was itchy, and his hand was so enticing. "And how long?" Ewen Roundshield asked Parson Glaive when he arrived at her house one morning a couple of months later. The Roundshield home was a neat stone affair in the upper level of the Citadel Felbar complex. Brunner perked up his ears and tried to turn around on the blanket his mother Ewen had set out on the floor for him. He wanted to get a better look at the speaker, but alas, his little body would barely move to his call, and he had to settle for turning his too big head hard to the side and staring at the cleric out of the very corner of his eye.
"Hard to say," Parson Glaive replied. "The passes are open again, and the orcs been fast to fill 'em."
"Orcs. Always orcs,"
Ewen grumbled.
"Many arrows, many orcs."
Those words caused the child on the blanket to wince and brought great discomfort to the confused sensibilities of Brunner Battlehammer. Many arrows. the kingdom of orcs set up by the beast Obuld, its existence ratified in a treaty signed by Brunner himself a century before. Brunner had spent the rest of his life, his first life at least, wondering if he had erred in signing the peace with Obuld. He had never been content with his decision, even though he had been given little choice in the matter. His forces of Mithril Hall could not have defeated Obuld's thousands, could not have begun to drive them from the land, and the other kingdoms of the Silver Marches, notably Sundabar and Silvery Moon, and even the dwarven citadels of Felbar and Adbar, had deferred from entering such a war. The price would have been too high, so they all had determined. And so the kingdom of Many Arrows had come to be, and peace had ensued, such as it was. For these were orcs, after all, and the constant incursions of rogue bands had plagued the land throughout the rest of Brunner's first life, and apparently, given the conversation before him now, continued to this day.
Arar'll put him back in their holes, Parson Glaive assured Ewen. We should be marching across the Cerberin and put him down for the dogs they are, Ewen replied. I'm not for arguing, said Parson Glaive, and know that many are grumbling that same song of late. Too many fights, too many raids. King Obul the Whatever's been told to put a rein on his underlings, and even Mithril Hall's been sounding that warning. Good on Mithril Hall, then, that they might be fixing the mistake of their old king.
Brunner's eyes grew moist at that, even when Parson Glaive cut Ewen short.
"Don't ye be speaking such things," he said. "A different time, a different world, and King Brunner signed with the blessing of Emerus Warcrown himself. Might be that we were all wrong, then. Be sure that our king's never been happy with that long-ago choice."
"Might be,"
Ewen agreed. Parson Glaive took his leave then, and Ewen went about her chores, which included a fair amount of sword play as she put herself back into fighting condition, leaving Brunner, little Arar, to his own amusement on the blanketed floor. Soon after, the baby fell asleep. Images of Garim's gorge filled Brunner's dreams, a quill floating in the air before him, scratching his name on the treaty that bore the place's name. A gnarled and wart-covered orc hand pulled the quill from the air and Obuld, and how clearly Brunner still pictured that ugly beast, nearly broke the writing instrument's tip when he dug his own name into the document. The great orc was clearly no more satisfied than Brunner by this peace, even though it had been his demand. Brunner's thoughts flew away from that place, to his old chambers in Mithril Hall, with Drizzt sitting beside him, assuring him that he had done right by his people and for his legacy. But had he? Even now it seemed a century